Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dreams. Dreams and dreamers have throughout history been powerful forces. Martin Luther King Jr.'s words, "I have a dream," continue to speak to a preferred future for people not only in America but around the world. And about the same time in our history, Robert Kennedy's words, you see things as they are and ask why, but what? I dream things that never were and ask why not. Those words have moved people to step out in ways that they never dreamed possible. We find dreams in Scripture. Jacob drew strength from his dream of angels ascending and descending a ladder connecting heaven and earth. And the dream of his son Joseph so angered his brothers that he got a free trip to Egypt, where he was in his interpretation of a dream in a fellow prisoner led him to being sought out by Pharaoh, who was troubled by another dream. And all of that resulted in Joseph's release from false imprisonment, his rise to be the second most powerful person in Egypt, and the saving of his own family, including the brothers who had intended him harm. And Peter dreamt of a sheet coming down from heaven filled with all sorts of unclean animals, which God commanded him to eat, thereby opening the door for the proclamation of the gospel to the Gentiles. Such a dream as that swept over a man with such force that it changed the course of Christian history. In this dream, the man saw a figure which beckoned him into a dark and fearful passage. And the man felt compelled to follow this figure as he crept through a narrow and terrifying corridor. As he labored to follow the shadowy figure, he gradually felt less fear. And the farther he traveled, he felt a growing sense of safety and security, even though the path was still dark and foreboding. And suddenly, an immense calm came upon the man, and the path before him was now clear as he entered a small room. And in that room, he experienced an indescribable peace as all the burdens and cares he had ever had were filled. The shadowy figure who had been leading him on began to take shape and told the dreamer that the peace of this place was nothing less than the peace of God, that the man's journey had taken him deeper and deeper into the very heart of God. And here, with God, he would never want again, and all tears would be wiped away. And the man's heart leaped with joy as he realized that this had been the goal of his life, and he wondered if he was now dead. But that didn't matter because his joy was such that he was ready to remain there even for eternity. But then his guide told him that having now experienced this joy and peace, he needed to make a decision. He must either pass through the door on the other side of the small room or return to the life that he had known before his journey. Because this small room wasn't permanent. One must go forward or return. Now, the man had no desire to return, but a great fear at the prospect of going forward came down upon him. He wanted to simply remain where he was. He couldn't live with less, but couldn't imagine more. When he anxiously stepped forward and tried the door, he discovered that it was locked. The guide, now a doorkeeper, placed a key in the lock, turned it, and opened the door for the man to pass through. And at first, the light beyond that door was blinding. He couldn't see a thing. But he knew one thing in that moment. The peace that he experienced before continued, in fact, became even more rapturous. Nothing had been lost. But he thought, what more had he gained? Because for the first time in his journey, he heard other voices around him. And as he became accustomed to the light, he saw people of every sort gathered around him. Some were people with whom he knew he would easily feel comfortable, but others were clearly people with whom he would never be seen, let alone talk to or associate with. And then his guide said, "In the outer room, you discovered how deeply God's love touches you. But that peace cannot exist in solitude. God's love encompasses and surrounds people of every sort. You can sense its magnitude alone, but its fullness can only be known in the company of all who are held in God's heart. And that's why you couldn't stay in that room. You either had to return or move ahead to discover those who share God's peace with you in his heart. But should you break this peace, you can no longer remain here. Should you even so much as wish one of these whom God loves out of his heart, you shall be returned immediately to that place from which you came. And the man looked around at the sort of company that he would have to keep if he wished to remain. And then he woke up with a start. As that man began to think about the meaning of that dream, he was rather troubled. His dream was contrary to everything that he'd been taught and believed. He'd grown up among people who called themselves the chosen of God, the elect, and outsiders could be brought into the fold, but it was considered important to remain aloof from certain people because they would contaminate the group. Their very separateness from others was not only a mark of who they were, but was also the way that they remained free of anything that might separate them from God. As he thought about that dream, he realized that the original passageway was actually a view into his own heart. The fear that he felt as he started down that passageway was the darkness of his own shame and sin. And the change that he had experienced as the passage grew less fearful was when he had moved deeper into the very heart of God. And there he experienced a place which throbbed with a different spirit. There he discovered the peace of purity and healing, a peace and purity that he had desired his entire life, but which had eluded him no matter how hard he worked to gain it. But just as he had been told that he must pass through the door or return, he discovered that a key was needed to enter the other place. And he remembered that that key had been shaped like a cross. In fact, that was precisely what it was, a cross. And that cross had opened the door into that blinding light and to the other people. They too had come on that path. They too had stood in that outer room and watched the cross unlock the door to this place of peace and joy. And there were people of every sort there too that were welcome in the heart of God, where they experienced his love even more deeply along with the others. In his previous life, these people were considered so wicked, so wrong, but there in God's heart, it was all so very, very right. Their differences were covered by the blazing glory of God, so that while they were all different, in truth, they were all the same. As that dreamer struggled to find words to describe what the vision meant, he wrote, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father." Now, there's no record of St. Paul ever having such a dream. In fact, the truth of that little story really attempts to express, the truth it attempts to express flows really out of these words from his letter to the Ephesians, a way of helping you see inside what it may have meant for Saul to become Paul by putting aside everything he had been taught about life and people as he came to a deeper understanding of God's incredible love. It's also a way of helping us to see the message of the cross that we consider tonight. The cross, crosslet, is made up of four Latin crosses. That's the normal cross that we think of. Four Latin crosses pointing to the four corners of the world. It symbolizes Christ's command to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Those four crosses are united at the base, suggesting that all the different people of the world, including the people here at Caldwell, here in Grace, are made one in Christ. Just as Paul wrote, Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two one, Jews and Gentiles and any others who are at odds with one another, and has destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility. And you are the one standing squarely in the center of that cross. And those four crosses point to the places where you have the privilege of taking the message of Christ, the message of God's forgiving love and mercy. But you're not alone. You're among many who have been reconciled to God, people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Paul's words from Ephesians are a call for you and me to foster peace in the place where Christ's cross is planted. First, you're called to ask if that peace is planted in your own heart. Do you know the peace that comes from God's love for you? You know, that word peace occurred four times in that short text, and the word hostility occurred twice. And there's real tension between those two words, peace and hostility. And to borrow from our Sunday sermon series, hostility with God was reconciled through Christ, or through Jesus. Jesus came to deal with the hostility of your sin caused between the hostility that your sin caused between you and God. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians when he says, God through Christ reconciled you to himself. God took the first step. He came to you while you were yet sinners and reconciled you to himself. Now, if so, if you have that peace, you're also called to ask if that peace is moving you outside of yourself. See, the reality is that there is this tension between peace and hostility all around us and among us today, every day. But you've been invited into the heart of God to find what life there is like, and then to live that life in the world, taking Christ's peace and making it real in your life with those around you. Christ reconciled you to God, but it goes even further than that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that in Christ God was reconciling himself to the world and entrusting to us that message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. That being the case, we might also say, hostility with blank was reconciled through Jesus. So what do you need to put in that blank? Son or daughter? Mother or father? Neighbor? Co-worker? Perhaps it's people of another race, or people who sin differently than you do, or who sin in ways that you're uncomfortable with. People who make you cringe, maybe even feel disgust, but all people for whom Christ died. People God wants in his heart who are wandering in darkness and sin because they know no other way. You are God's ambassador to share the wonderful message that he loves and cares for all people because of Christ's willing death on the cross. And his promise is that your life will be richer as people from every tribe and race, people from every walk of life, join you in the heart of God. People you may have only one thing in common with, that they love Jesus because he has worked repentance and faith in their hearts, just as he has in yours. Our crosslet points us in all directions, and to our family, and to our acquaintances, to members of our community, to the very ends of the earth, Jesus said. It reaches into the corners of where we live and work. It urges us to remember brothers and sisters in far parts of the world who work on our behalf, and it urges us to speak to those who are around us, who have yet to believe in the Savior who conquered sin and hell and death itself. This text and this crosslet are really appropriate for this last Wednesday before we enter this week that we call Holy, a time when we'll remember again the suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord. It's a good time, we might even say the right time, for you to take the message of the crosslet and this text seriously, turning it into a time of personal mission as you speak a word of invitation to those around you. These are days for holding the cross high before our family and friends and neighbors. These are days for reconciliation with those for whom you may have felt some hostility, a time to help them know the peace that Christ gives you and which he desires to have expressed in the lives of his faithful people. And God's asking us to turn this dream into a reality in your life, into a reality of my life. Because God did, and now he gives you and me the opportunity and the privilege of helping him do it for others too. Amen.